Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
And the question this afternoon is, can you face the judgment unafraid? And we do have Elder Carl Vajura on the line, going to be helping us to answer that question. Elder Carl, how are you?
I'm good, my brother. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I hope that you've had a good day so far.
Every day is a blessing with God, my brother.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Great to hear that. Well, the question that's being asked is, can you face the judgment unafraid? This is a VOP lesson, of course. We are actually going through that series. And, Daniel's description of the judgment in heaven is awe-inspiring and also a little bit intimidating as well. Many look to the day of judgment with fear and trepidation. Let's hear what the lesson has to say about that. My elder, is the day of judgment something to be fearful or to dread? Why or why not?
You know, my brother, James the First, he was one of England's kings. It's said when you study history that he tried to be a judge himself, and he carefully listened to one of the cases. He listened to one side of the story. And as soon as he listened to the first side of the story, he was about to pass his judgment until he was asked to listen to the other side of the story.
Yeah.
And then when he heard the second side of the story, he was totally perplexed and he didn't know what to do. And you know, the people that he first thought were innocent were now guilty. And the people that he first thought were guilty now appear to be innocent. So he eventually abandoned this position as a judge in despair, and the king put it in this way. He says, you know, I could get on very well being a judge if I only heard one side of a story. But when both sides are told to me, I don't know which is right or wrong. So a confused judge in a judgment will have difficulty in making an accurate decision, but when it comes to God, God is an impartial, totally fair and accurate judge. He's not confused when it comes to judging us. And something that we need to realize as people, whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we profess to be a Christian or not, whether whoever we are, we have to appear in judgment one day. And God has no favorites. And when we are summoned by the courts of heaven, we must appear. Why? Because Paul says in Romans 14, verse 12, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. But before a verdict can be given, or a sentence passed, there has to be an investigation, a trial.
Yeah.
Now, when we turn to the Bibles, you spoke about the book of Daniel. And Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, it talks about how Daniel sees in vision when thrones are put in place and the Ancient of Days is seated and there's thousands upon thousands of angels and the books are open. And God sees a picture, Daniel sees a picture of God, the Father, seated on his throne and judgment is in place. And that's a scary scene. And Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret little thing, whether good or evil. So it's a scary situation to think about. It's intimidating, as you say, to think about. It could discourage us. And after all, who can actually stand in such a judgment? But there is good news, my brother.
Yeah.
There is good news when it comes to this story. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. John 5, verse 22, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So this is the good news. In this judgment, Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our lawyer. Jesus is our judge. So how can we fear to lose such a case?
Yep, indeed. Now, you know, talking about the judgment, it actually makes me to imagine, you know, the cases in court, you know, the cases that go to court, etc. There's a plaintiff, complainant, etc., etc. And there's witnesses as well. So in this judgment, will there be witnesses? Will we have witnesses? And who will those be?
As you said, when we look at a scenario in a court case, you have a witness that testifies to what they have seen, what they have heard regarding the one that is being judged. Now, do we have a witness in this judgment? You know, John chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So what is the Bible telling us? The Bible is saying in the judgment, Jesus bears witness to our lives. He bears witness to our actions, our faith. He bears witness to our heart, our intentions. He sees our struggles. He's a witness to our triumphs and everything in between. His witness is a testament to his understanding, his compassion towards us. His witness is something when we look at knowing to say that Jesus is in our corner. It should empower you. It should empower us to know that Jesus serves as our witness in the judgment, because his presence in the judgment assures us that we're not alone. And his grace, you know, his grace assures us that we will make it, even though times might seem as, sometimes in life, you might feel as if, will I make it in this judgment? But when you realize who Jesus is and what he's done and how through his everlasting love and his sacrifice for us, he will confess us and claim us as his own in the judgment. But that is if we accept him here.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you're saying that this witness is going to be Christ himself.
Yes.
Is he going to be a witness and also a defendant at the same time?
You know, let's think about it. Scripture shows us to say that Jesus is the witness. At the same time, Jesus is the attorney. At the same time, Jesus is also the judge. So when Jesus takes this witness stand on my behalf or on your behalf, it gets better. The Bible tells us that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. That's actually the good news about the gospel. You know, when you have Jesus on your side, you don't have to fear in this judgment. You know, Jesus actually takes our punishment. That's something that we should also look at. He's not just the judge, not just the witness, but I'll give a scenario. Let's just say, for example, there is someone that has killed or murdered or killed or raped or done some bad deed, and he's been caught or she's been caught, and they've been taken into a judicial system to be judged, and they are found guilty. And the judge says, according to law, you deserve death. The attorney that is standing next to you says that, okay, fine, according to the law, yes, you deserve death. But the witnesses have witnessed to your act. But then someone stands up in the crowd and says, okay, I am willing to take that person's place. So we need to talk about the punishment. Who takes the actual punishment?
Yeah. Wow. Nice. Now, so please go ahead, because already we've got the judge, we've got the witness, we've got all the players. But then let's talk about the punishment, as you said. What happens there?
Okay. Now, when it comes to the punishment, you know, the Bible tells us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's commandments. And the punishment of sin is death. You know, Isaiah 53, verse 5 to 6 says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised talking about Jesus, for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And the Lord has placed on him the iniquity of all. Now, when we look in ancient Israel, you know, the people, they daily brought their sacrifices to the sanctuary, and they confessed their sins, and they took the life of an innocent animal, the innocent lamb, to show their faith in the future death of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, today, if we sin, we don't have to sacrifice a lamb. We just ask God to forgive us of our sins, because Jesus died in our place to pay the sin debt. But before Calvary, the people, they had no sacrifice to look back to. So by faith, they looked forward instead to the time when the Lamb of God would die for them. Mm. Now, their sins were symbolically then transferred into the sanctuary. And the priest would sprinkle the blood of the animal in the most holy place on the veil. Now, how does that apply also to us? You know, in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrews 8 verse 1 to 2, Paul tells us that we also have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected. So Christ, the Lamb of God, died for our sins. Our sins were placed upon him. And by his blood, and by his blood only, are those sins transferred into the heavenly sanctuary. And that is the only way that we can receive forgiveness. So everything, Jesus, the Lamb, he dies for us. But Jesus didn't just die for us. Jesus is also the priest who lives for us. Jesus is our high priest. Mm. And just as Israel's high priest entered that most holy place once a year, Jesus has also entered into the most holy place to perform his work of judgment. So we should not fear, because Jesus knows what it feels like to live in an earth that is ravaged with sin. And our punishment has been put upon him.
Yep.
So just need to trust in our high priest.
Yeah. You know, lastly on this, you know, today's lesson, or lastly but not least, how can Jesus be the judge, attorney, witness, and also pay a penalty for my sin? It sounds too good to be true, don't you think?
It sounds too good to be true, but the fact is that it is true, my brother. Mm. You know, Christ, his death on the cross, it enables him to act both as a just judge and also as a gracious justifier. He, Jesus, can defend both his Father's unchangeable law and at the same time defend repentant sinners. So when the watching universe asks the question, you know, how can an impartial judge declare a guilty person not guilty? Christ can answer by pointing to his perfect sinless life that he lived on our behalf. And he can also point to the scars on his hands from his death on the cross. He has absorbed the penalty of sin with his own body. So he, God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be what? To be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So because of Jesus' sinless life and his death, our life of sin is exchanged in this judicial sense for his perfect life of righteousness. So that's why God can forgive us and treat us as if we have not sinned. Why? Because he presents that record of Jesus' sinless life and as a replacement for our condemning record of our sinful life.
Yep.
So we shouldn't fear in this judgment, because God has given us grace and he has given us forgiveness. But we need to accept Christ as our Savior, or else in the judgment we will stand with our record.
Indeed.
That has not been covered by the blood of Jesus.
Lastly, my brother, tell me if we can truly face the judgment unafraid. Can we truly, truly face the judgment and go to the judgment booth completely unafraid and relaxed?
You know, Jesus longs to be our advocate in the judgment, my brother. He longs to have us accept this sacrifice on Calvary, his sacrifice on Calvary. He longs to have us confess our sins to him so that he can blot them out. He's made the way. He's paved the way for us. He longs to have our names written in the book of life. John, you know, John describes those who will enter the holy city, Revelation 21, verse 27. He says, but they shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So what Jesus is saying is that open up your heart to him and you will have no fear, no need to fear. Just ask him to take your life, your sin away from you, and for him to put his righteousness upon you. And in the judgment, you know, God reveals everything about us. Everything is exposed to this whole universe. There's nothing that you can hide. All of our sins have been recorded. But the question is, are your sins covered? Covered with the blood of Jesus. So you need to be able to reach a point in life where, you know, sometimes we like to hide around the bush. You need to reach a point where you look at the you look at God's law and you realize that you are a sinner and you are in need of a savior. And yep. Once you reach that point, then you'll be able to accept Christ as your savior and be covered by his blood, and there will be no need to fear in the judgment.
Indeed, there will be no need to fear in the final judgment. Thank you so much, my elder, for coming through. We're going to be talking to you again tomorrow, same time, same place. But for today, we do want to say thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.